bonkers.
What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pepper, but you can call me Fish. Sitting with me, my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff.
Connor, how you doing, man?
I'm pretty dang okay.
You've been away for the last week.
I decided to go to the middle of nowhere with seven other people and get really stupid drunk for a week, as my 18-year-old self would do.
Yeah, good.
And guess what I did? I did that.
I was like, where we...
went on holiday, got sunburnt, my nose is peeling a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of skin off the old Rudolph Pinocchio nose there, but it was good fun. So I'm back. The first thing I did was go in to see a flick, and I'm here now. We're here
to catch up on
them.
And this week we're going to be reviewing Kingsman,
the Secret Service.
Yeah, Colin Firth, spy movie.
Yeah,
we're pretty keen for
what's
this.
What's the main guy's name?
I have no idea. Eggsy is all I know him as. Yeah,
How are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
I've heard you're going on a bit of a holiday soon.
A little bit of a permanent holiday, actually.
What
is this? I am moving to Melbourne, much to your disgust.
Much to my... He meant me, not the audience.
Yeah, audience, it doesn't matter, because either way, we're still going to be doing the podcast. It will probably not sound as good because Connor's going to be on Skype.
Which is some bullshit.
So I still sound as majestic as I normally do.
Yep. And
Connor,
I'm going to still sound like a prick, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, either way, he's still going to be a prick. So.
It's a win-win? Or no, it's a lose.
Was it a win because I don't have to see you anymore?
Wow, that fucking cuts deep, doesn't it?
No, I'm kidding. I am going to miss our hangs. But, you know, now we're just going to have to do it over Skype.
This is fucking bullshit. This is fucking bullshit. God damn it. You got to leave and I'm sad. And I'm very upset because you are very much one of my best friends. So it's a real shame, you know, that you're gone.
Yeah,
that was a sniff because that's not my nose, not because I'm crying.
Tear, David, I can see a tear.
Oh, fuck off!
It's sweet. No, I appreciate that, man. But you know, the good thing is of all my mates here, which you know I'm going to try and keep in contact. I have to keep in contact with you. Yeah. Every week I have to talk to you.
You literally
have
to speak to me, yeah.
This friendship is going to continue. And we're going to continue to bitch about movies, which is what we do best. But speaking about movies, did you watch anything else other than Kingsman this week?
I can't remember.
Don't know anything? I did go see Imitation Game.
Yeah?
Finally.
What did you think?
You know how I was kind of like, I wasn't really all that keen for it, was I?
Yeah,
I was
no,
like,
you were pretty much the opposite of keen. You were like, I'm not fucking seeing a drama. I don't go to the movie to see dramas. My name's David.
It wasn't really anything like
you
that.
You were fucking refusing.
The last fucking 10 movies I've seen have all been dramas.
But you refused.
But
you
I did refuse. I thought it looked fucking boring as shit. And I was really not in any way interested about it. And then it became like this big thing. You really liked it. Everyone who's seen it has told me it was fantastic. And it was down to its last two sessions. I thought, fuck it, I'm going to go see it. I'm still going to use these cheap movies I get for working at a cinema for the last week and a half that I'm here. And I jumped in, watched it, and I really liked it.
Wow, look at that.
You know, I'll tell you what, if he wasn't such a cunt...
Yeah.
If he wasn't such a blunt asshole of a man, I wouldn't have liked it. But the humor that brought to it was just really cool and really charming.
Such a sad story too. Like,
yeah, in the end it does get. Yeah.
It's just so sad.
But really, really enjoyed it. I'd probably give it a 3.5 out of 5.
That's a good score.
Which
I
is solid.
Can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's better than Foxcatcher, better than American Sniper for me. And that's, you know, it's better than, much better than average. I really enjoyed it.
I give it a, I don't know if I rated it. I think I did at the time.
I can't remember. We talked about it briefly, I think, when you saw it a month
ago. I'm not going to rate it because if I rate it again and the rating's different and one of the three people that listen to this
will be like, what the fuck?
They'll be like, slap Connor on the podcast.
And they'll be like,
you can't because he's in fucking Melbourne. And then... Yeah, that's a plus for me.
Yeah, we'll have to find like slapped. We'll get like an electric shock machine that I can
that you can
like
use from Melbourne to shock me.
Or I'll just pay Mel to slap you.
Yeah. Kicks down my door. She's like, come here, bitch.
She has to sit in on every podcast. I'm like, Melanie, are you sitting there?
Yes. Slap
that
just
motherfucker.
Just click your fingers and like, God, no. She gets more powerful every time.
Yeah, I think she'd have a big slap on her too. She's a small girl, but I think she'd have some power behind
her. She'd probably have a knife. She'd probably just shank me.
Well, that's even better. Yeah, so we both really liked Imitation Game. If it's still, it probably isn't going to be in cinemas by the time that this podcast comes out. But it's it had a good run. And everybody's, like I said, nobody's really bagged on it.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. I don't think, I still think Birdman's best picture material. I still think Bradley Cooper is probably best actor material from what I've seen of these.
Stop saying that.
I know you don't like it, but it's true.
I will shave my fucking head. Do it.
That's going to be awesome. But yeah, so that's the one. And I also watched a film last night, actually. It was a take back one. A 70s film called Orca, The Killer Whale.
Yeah, Gemma got that for you, didn't she?
She did, Gemma. Yeah. We watched that last night. Gemma and her boyfriend came around and we watched it at 12 o'clock last night, midnight movie, and it was fucking awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Really?
Because there's something about films made in the 70s that, you know, if that same film was made now, it would be like a straight to DVD or Sci-Fi Channel piece of shit. They put $5,000 into it, these crappy, you know, special effects, and it would just be horrible. Whereas something about the 70s and the way they're shot, and like, it doesn't look real by any means. It's a rubber fucking fish half the time, but it still looks, I believe it more, if that makes sense.
Because the whole feel, like, everything is, you know, old fashioned, you know, like, kind of retro and stuff. So,
yeah. And I think there's something about that it's from another time and it looks dated and stuff, that because it's older than me, it must be real, if you know what I mean. Like, back in the day, they only could do practical effects. So I believe it more, even though it doesn't look real at all. But and actually, the main actor is the original Dumbledore.
Really? No shit.
Yeah, and he's kind of old in it, but not Dumbledore old, obviously. But he every now and then he has a bit of Dumbledore in him when he's like talking to this fucking killer whale. It's like killing off all his mates.
Jesus.
Good fun, that movie. It's like, it's obvious, it's just after like Jaws came out, and you can see that Jaws is a big influence on it. For, you know, fans of killer fucking shark and whale movies out there, I highly recommend it.
Water predators. That's it.
So, yeah. No, exciting times. Well, listen, I don't have much else to talk about, so let's get straight on to Kingsman. What do you reckon?
Yep, let's do it.
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Let's do it.
We've both been pretty excited about this one.
Yep.
Highly stylized spy film.
I only realized, like, the other week that it was directed by the same guy who did Kick-Ass.
Yeah, I told you that.
Which, yeah, and it was, and Kick-Ass is one of Matthew my favorite Vaughn. Films. So Matthew I'm like, Vaughn, I'm like, ooh, baby, here we go.
He also did X-Men First Class.
Good on him. Yeah. Did he do Kick-Ass 2?
I don't know if he actually directed it. I know he wrote it. And
I'll have a little look.
I don't know if he was involved, because I didn't really like Kick-Ass 2 as much.
Yeah,
as
me neither. I think we had this conversation as well.
Yeah, so. Kick-Ass is a fantastic film, and is actually very similar to what Kingsman is, in a way that it's kind of a satire on superhero movies, but not quite a straight parody.
Yeah, you're totally right. You know? It's based off a graphic novel.
Kingsman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Kingsman is it?
Yeah.
Oh, because so is Kick-Ass, obviously. I wonder if it was the same,
don't think it was the same guy. Author.
Because I know he was, because with the Kick-Ass comic, Matthew Vaughn, got in there. I think his name's Matthew Vaughn. I'm fairly sure that's his name.
I think you're right.
And then it's, Mark Miller?
Jeff Wadlow directed Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
And then if I click on his name, God bless IMDb. Hey?
Yeah, isn't it a great
tool.
He
did Kick-Ass 2. Wow, he did some really fucking terrible things.
This director.
He's doing X-Force?
Oh, hey, fuck that director off. Look up Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, I'm just figuring out who did Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2. So
he did Kick-Ass 2.
He was a wanker because it sucked.
Yeah.
Compared to Kick-Ass 1.
And he's doing X-Force, though.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
I don't want him to do that.
I don't want him to do that.
I like X-Men. Stop. Yeah, he did X-Men First Class, Kick-Ass, Kingsman Secret Service.
Matthew Vaughn is his name.
Yeah, he did Days of Future Past. No, he didn't. He would have written.
Anyway, so he knows his comic book shit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to Matthew Vaughn at a Supernova one time. He was on he was doing like a Skype thing, and I went up and asked him a question.
What was your question?
I think it was something about how was it, you know, working with Hit Girl and having her say, yeah, you know, words like cunt and shit like that, like putting a little, yeah, girl into that position. And he was like, it was easy. she did whatever we wanted her to do.
That's a good actress.
Yeah, but that's how I remember, because I remember loving Kick-Ass, and then they had this, you know, Skype Q&A session with Matthew Vaughn.
And you were, and like,
I
was,
well, I got to ask a question. I got to ask a question to the Kick-Ass director.
You're like, oh! Yeah. Times you're like, oh, God.
I think I was wearing a cape as well. And I went up and he was like, are you wearing a cape? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. Yeah. I was like, yeah, so pretty cool dude. I like Kick-Ass better than X-Men First Class. I still think X-Men First Class is a really great movie, but I feel like Kick-Ass was more his voice.
What a cool fucking movie. Like, yeah. It's just awesome. It's just so cool. Super stylized. Yeah. And guess what else is super stylized? Kingsman. Like, it's like really stylized film. Yeah. And I see a lot of that. I see a lot of Kick-Ass in Kingsman, actually. Like, when,
yeah,
I watch,
I do
it
too.
Which, but I wasn't a problem for
no,
me.
No.
Was not.
Well, this is what I was about to say, is I felt that Kingsman was very much more Kick-Ass with a touch of X-Men First, yeah, Class in there. Like,
it's like Kick-Ass with a budget is what,
basically,
is what Kingsman
pretty
felt
much,
like.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
It just, yeah. Cool.
Sure, okay. Plot summary.
Go for it.
Eggsy is our main boy. I don't know the actor's name. It's IMDb. There we go. So what do we start out on? They're in
1997. They're in the Middle East. After someone, the Kingsmen. There's four or five of them.
Yep. And one dude jumps on a grenade.
Yeah.
That gets thrown out and basically saves everyone's life. And he was Colin Firth, who is kind of the other lead in this film. Protege.
Well, my phone's dead.
Cool. So he was a protege, and he ends up being the main character's father.
Like mentor, yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry.
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah,
father,
sorry,
is the one,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
died. And then Colin Firth finds Eggsy later on in life as he's grown up to be a teenager, and he's like a bit of a punk. And
punk-ass.
Yeah, he's stealing cars and shit, and then he's gone to jail, and he basically has this... Colin Firth gives him like a necklace when he's a child that has a number on it and says, like, you know, when you need a favor, this is the number to call. And he's always been wearing this necklace around his neck for his entire life. And then now he's in a bit of a pickle. He's probably going to go to jail. And he says, oh, fuck it. I'll give this. He'll use his one phone call to call Colin Firth. And in a roundabout way, Colin Firth comes and bails him out of jail, and it's all good. And then he goes on to train to be the next Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah.
And he goes to fill the gap that's there. And then from there, we basically have a bit of a training montage as he becomes...
A really long training montage.
Yeah, really long one. He has a pug, which I was pretty happy about. That was fucking awesome. They all get a dog that they have to look after for the entire training thing. And basically, in the end, when it comes down to two people, the position goes to the person who's willing to shoot their dog, basically, which I
didn't understand. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, that makes no sense, because it's all about loyalty and stuff. And they train him about teamwork, and it's all about loyalty no matter what.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Then on the other side of the world, we have Samuel L. Jackson, who is basically the Bond villain of this film. And he's got a funny lisp and a flat brim hat. And he's talking, he's basically like Bill Gates, isn't he? He's like the richest person
Steve
in
Jobs
the world.
Steve Jobs is where I put him out.
Steve Jobs, yeah. And
like, he's a real arsehole.
He's a real arsehole. And he designs these chips that you can put in your phone, like a SIM card you can put in your phone, you get free internet and all this bullshit. But by having that, he can basically control your mind, isn't it? It sends them angry, and they're basically, because doesn't he want the human race to kill themselves off?
Because he's worried about global warming, and he's like, he tried to stop global warming once and it didn't work because he realized no matter what happens, humans are just going to cause global warming. So he's gone, right, well, the only way we can stop global warming is if we have cull the human population. So he makes this SIM card that, like, essentially triggers the instinctive part of your, like, the animalistic side of your brain, and just all you want to do is kill everyone around you.
Yeah. So basically becomes 28 Days Later. Did you ever see that film?
No. Sounds like a horror film.
It is. Yep. They're rage zombies, and they just all go crazy and kill each other. And it's set in Britain. This movie's set in Britain. I got a lot of comparisons there. It doesn't, and then he, and but in the people that are like the rich people of the world, basically, that he deems worthy.
Well, he needs people to start the new world. So yeah. He gets the people who are like influencers.
Yeah, powerful people.
Because he essentially gets them to, they're the ones that tell everyone to like buy the SIM card.
But they've also got some sort of mind control bullshit going on where they've got something put into behind their ear sort of thing.
So that when the SIM card goes off, they're immune to it. But at the same time, he's also put in another aspect, like there's another side to it that if they squeal as to what's going to happen, he blows their head off.
Yeah, that's right. Then we have this fucking fantastic scene later in the film where Colin Firth is in a church.
Can we finish the summary first before we, like, I just want to...
This is part of the summary, isn't it? It's like Colin Firth goes in and basically massacres kills everyone in this church, and we find out that it's because he's been affected by this rage thing. And then Samuel R. Jackson goes on to kill Colin Firth.
Mm.
And then it's up to Eggsy to come in and save the day. And there's the boss fight at the end where he fights this chick who has sword legs, which is just fucking fantastic. And it's this another big awesome fight scene. And then he eventually kills Samuel L. Jackson and saves the world and gets to have anal sex with
the princess of like the Norway or
Netherlands
Norway,
or Finland or something like that. Yeah. Which, yeah, cool.
if you save world, we can do it in asshole.
So that's it in the most disjointed and probably worst plot summary we've ever done, but there you go.
Who gives a good goddamn? I just want to get straight into this film, to be honest.
Let's talk about this movie.
Yeah, okay, so fucking Colin Firth. He is, in my opinion, the coolest fucking part of this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
That man fits that role so perfectly. He's suave and he's cool and he's a gentleman. And he plays off being a badass.
But a badass as well.
He does it so well. The first little action sequence where he gets Eggsy and the chavs come in. They're like, get the fuck out. We're going to beat the shit out of Eggsy.
And he flicks the...
Manners maketh man. Like, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely. And he flicks that glass and just knocks that guy out. And, well, that was the scene that we put up on Facebook, wasn't it? And that is just what this is. Every time there's a fight scene in this film, it's like next level shit. Like,
it's awesome.
I really, really liked how they filmed these fight scenes, how they were like just the pacing of them and just general Colin Firth badassery.
The choreography was amazing. Like, just the way he uses the umbrella to like palm off, he like guides punches to hit other people. Yeah. Like, it's just cool. Like, it's just... Oh man.
It's one of those ones I can't wait to get it on DVD so I can watch those bits over and over, because it was kind of like Matrix Reloaded for me, like that movie.
Fuck the movie, but the Mr. Smith fight.
Those fight scenes were cool. so I'd watch these over and over and just like sort of, because it's just so fast by the time it's over, you're kind of like, what the fuck just happened? You know? But I also, let's keep talking about Colin Firth, how... just cool. Fucking perfect for this role. And and I'm not particularly a Colin Firth fan by any means, but I am now. Like, I really like Colin Firth now.
I am the same now, yeah.
And I really want to see more of this shit, but not in Kingsman.
Because he's dead. But look, I kind of expected that, to be honest.
Did you?
Yep.
I didn't. And I fucking hated that they killed him.
Really?
I really fucking hated it.
I didn't really mind too much, because I kind of think I was at that point, like, the only reason I thought it was going to happen was because I saw there's the fight, that massive fight in the church, and I was like, he was getting fucked up big time in the church, and I'm like, there's no way that his character will be able to live with that, like, just knowing that character and knowing how the story is going and stuff, and that Sam Jackson's watching him, and I'm like, look, this is classic bad guy stuff. Like, the mentor has to go. The Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, like, he's gonna go. The only other person I thought would go is Merlin, you know, the But the guy that ends up helping him near the end, he's the one that...
Merlin.
The Scottish bloke. His code name was Merlin. He flies a plane, the pilot. He's the one that...
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think, you know, those roles could be swapped. I think Colin Firth could really have played a really cool bit at the end.
As yeah.
That. But I think at the same time, you kind of feel... You really fucking hate Sam Jackson after that.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You're really like, you motherfucker. Like, yeah.
I don't know. I'll get into this a bit more. I've got more reasons for why I didn't like that he died. But mainly it is because I was there to see Colin Firth and I was enjoying Colin Firth so much. And now, unless there's a prequel, like we're not going to get more Colin Firth. Like I don't want to come back to even see Eggsy. Like Eggsy was okay, but Colin Firth just stole this show.
Yeah,
man.
It was his movie.
Like he's on the poster. Where's Eggsy on the poster? He's not on the poster. Like it's all Star Colin power, Firth, you know?
Yeah.
But like I understand what his role was and I like the role that he played. Like
he's just too good at it. He was too damn good. Yeah. I have to agree, to be honest. Like I like all the other characters, but like this film was awesome because of Colin Firth. Like,
yeah.
But I think, you know what? This film's pretty fucking whack. I reckon they could easily just somehow bring him
I'm
back.
Sure, like, if... Yeah. He could... Yeah. Clones, cyborgs. Like, there's any fucking... they could go anywhere with it.
He's just so cool. He's so fucking cool. Yeah. Like, he's so fucking cool. I think I got a man crush on him, to be honest. He's just like...
I actually really liked Samuel L. Jackson as well as this villain. Cool. But I didn't hate Samuel L. Jackson. And especially after he killed Colin Firth. Like, yeah, obviously I was like, fuck you, Samuel L. Jackson. But I was still like, oh, no, he doesn't like the blood. It's, you know, like he's all scared of the blood and stuff. Like, I always liked him. And I actually wish that we got a little bit more time with him.
Really?
And Blade Bitch.
I just reckon he was a dickhead. Like, I liked it. I thought he was funny. Like, I really liked his character. But I think...
He was a dickhead, for sure. Yeah.
And that's what I liked about him. Because I'm like, he's such a dickhead. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up.
And I liked that he was a fanboy of shit. As like, he's a fanboy of the... You know, the whole thing is, like, he wanted the Grav to be a spy. And then, you know, Colin Firth's like, well, I always thought they were only as good as their villain sort of thing. And it is. All spy movie, all fucking... Any movie is really only as good as their villain. At the best of times, like especially with superheroes and spies and all that sort of crap, because we've seen these heroes all before. Like it's the villain that's always interesting to us. Like, you know, the Joker is always like, fuck yeah, and people come to see that. People came to see Bane in Dark Knight.
But I think in this film, the best part of this film is still Colin.
It's still
Firth.
Colin Firth, and that in a way is kind of a problem in the sense that. I wish we had a little more to the villain, if you know what I mean. Like, especially the Blade chick. Like, she is so cool. Like, I really, really liked the thing. I don't need a whole fucking backstory of what she is, but I think they kind of... I think it all comes back to how long this fucking training sequence is in for Eggsy becoming a Kingsman.
Yeah, it's really... It takes a big part out of the movie. I think... I honestly think they could have just cut half of it.
Yeah, I almost wish it was just a, you know, a quick 3-minute montage of, you know, you're the best around! You know, him just fucking, you know, culling his way through the thing.
Close enough.
Like, it was fun. Like, those scenes were all cool. Like, I really liked the scene where the dormitory got flooded.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was fucking really cool. I like the whole dog thing. I like that he got a pug. Like, I fucking love pugs. They're just, like, the best thing ever. And when he has to go, you know, potentially kill the pug at the... And that shot of that fucking pug...
It's just with his teeth out.
It's just looking at him. It was the perfect... It was just done so well. Because there's no way you could kill that pug at the...
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think... Because we kind of went into that origin of Eggsy more, it kind of lost the villain versus Colin Firth magic that I expected a little bit.
I think, you're totally right. Eggsy's a cool character as well, though. I really liked him. Like, I really, really liked him. He was cool. And so were so is old mate. But, like... That training sequence, it's just too long. It's already a 2.5-hour film and you've got...
It was a really long film really long for what film. It is,
and
yeah.
The training stuff, like I was like, yeah, this is cool. I like watching it. But there's not really enough tension there to keep you on the edge of your seat. Yeah. Like, when they're...
Like, we all knew he's going to be the guy. You know, even when the chick, be, you know, that other girl becomes a Lancelot or whatever. It's like, we know he's still in the
bang. It should have just been like that flood scene and then about the dogs and and just keep it simple because there's too much. I did like that the guy squeals though on the train. Like that was great. He's like, what the fuck was that? And he's like, do you want to watch him? He's like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was great.
But it's kind of like two films there, isn't it? It's like there's two
protagonists.
It could have been two whole films. Yeah. You know.
Would have watched the one with Colin Firth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You were saying that Eggsy was a really cool character, and he was, but I didn't really care about him as much as I thought I would. Like, I cared, like, I liked that he was all about helping his family, and he's got a lot of those save the cat moments where he's just the good dude.
Yeah.
Like, even when he steals the car, it's for a good reason, you know, and he's a pretty cool little punk dude, and the whole, you know, British slang and all that, you know.
Real northern accent.
Listening to fucking that bonkers song, like, all through the movie.
And he takes the grenade off Colin Firth's, like, wardrobe. He's like, I love that. That was great.
Yeah. But I found that with the likes of Colin Firth there.
It was
such a big overshadow, and I just didn't care as much about him as I did about Colin Firth.
He was just too fucking good. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, honestly, he was too good. He's such a powerful presence on screen.
Yeah.
And he did it so well.
Yeah.
He got the best scenes in the whole film.
Yeah.
His character is pretty much represented as the coolest motherfucker on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I think that could have been evened out a little bit if maybe Eggsy's character had, you know, you take some of that, that training bullshit out and you actually see him just kicking ass like he does, because Eggsy was like, I really liked him. I liked the actor and I liked the character. I liked that he was just, he's about family. He's not about the greater good. And you know, it's real classic sort of hero stuff, but he doesn't really have any, even like the final sequence where he's running through the tunnels and he's just popping people off with his pistol. Like, they're not as cool. Like, it's not as cool. Cause I'm like, come on, do shit. You know, like, fuck, just fucking run at him and just fuck him all up. But he's just so like, he's just like a novice in comparison, and I don't like that. I want to see him like kick ass, and Colin Firth is so fucking good.
So good, yeah. Well, I had I was really confused because, you know, there's that really long shot of him doing a bit of parkour, getting away from those guys, and I thought that was gonna come into play a bit more. Like, that was gonna be his skill.
Yeah, that he was like super.
He could
athletic.
Just fucking run up walls and jump over buildings and whatever he wanted to do. And it never really comes back into play.
Yeah.
He runs on the walls in the, you know, underground cave, but in that generic spy movie ending.
I know, it was so great. The cave was just, it was red floors and rock walls. And
like,
I was
is it in a fucking volcano? Like, is this Austin Powers? Like, come on. Like, I couldn't help but laugh at that. But like, I would have probably preferred that final scene to be in a city where he could fucking fly around and do some shit, which is a missed opportunity, like, big time. Because, like, he was fucking flying around on that little...
Yeah, it's just such a bummer, honestly. I like, and don't get me wrong, it's not like he ruined the film.
Not at all. He's still really good. Yeah, like, he's still
fun to watch. Like, that fight scene with him and Blade Legs, it was fucking awesome. I was like, this is fucking brilliant. But
every fight scene in this is just so good.
But
like
my favorite fight scene in the whole thing, my favorite sequence, probably one of my favorite sequences of any film so far, is that ridiculous scene. It's almost one take. Like, it almost seems looks like one take of just Colin Firth fucking massacring everyone in the church.
In the church, yeah.
What the hell was that? Like, it's
to Freebird, of all songs, a great Lynyrd Skynyrd song. It's still not the best use of that song. There's a Rob Zombie's film Devil's Rejects.
Does it better?
We'll watch that one time and I'll show you how to really use that fucking song. But that's such, because it's like the big fucking guitar solo and all this sort of shit. And as soon as it came up, because that's like one of my favorite songs, I was like, shit's about to go down, because it's just like, and it did. It was like, you know,
I love that.
And he's like shoving fucking poles through people's heads. What about when he throws that guy's face into like the altar and his neck just crumples?
I know. Oh my God. I was like, fuck. And I love it because initially you're like, what the fuck? He's just killing everyone. Then you realize everyone's like just killing each other and you're like, yeah, good.
Yeah.
And he just, it's fucking crazy. Like, you just see him roll. He's just rolling on the floor and shit.
Oh.
And he just like, it just the way they use violence is great because it's the way he just shoots people. He just pops them off. It's just like, poof, poof, and they're just gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so brilliant.
I kind of like that it, because this, I wouldn't call this a violent movie, but when it does get to violence, it doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
And it's, it makes it more effective, I found, like, because there isn't, because they're so gentlemanly and so cool all the time. Then all of a sudden when he has to fuck shit up and his hair's getting messed up, fucking, you know, when he, blood is spraying everywhere.
He fucking,
you know,
jams that axe into someone's neck. I was like, it was like a woman. Like, he just hurls this fucking axe at someone's neck. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I like the way that it was shot. It was all on that kind of like wide angle lens. Kind of like a video game, wouldn't it? Like, he's always sort of on the right side, or on the, you know, on one third. He's always on the side of the screen, and it's just like, fucking boss, boss, and then it'll follow him around and do, yeah, it was really well done.
Choreographed.
Fuck, it was a good scene. But it is actually, it gets ruined for me. I didn't like that he was under the influence of something else. It really soiled it for me, like, because it was just him being a badass, like, because we knew the other people were affected, and like, and we know he's capable of doing this shit, like, we've seen him do it, but I was really annoyed because I just assumed that because he's a spy, he's got some sort of fucking you know, thing that's pushing off the signal. I was annoyed that he was affected. And it did sort, like don't get me wrong, it's still a fucking fantastic scene, but it wasn't as cool because I was so happy after it. And then when that when that information came out, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah, I kind of wish it was him just fighting off like that many bad dudes.
Just getting doing Neo.
Only because it kind of takes away when you know they're just a bunch of like redneck hicks.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it makes it that much more satisfying that they are redneck hicks. Just like.
I knew they were under the influence. Yeah, I just didn't think he was.
It didn't bother me that he was, because, like...
See, that's what bothered me.
Yeah,
what bothered me
was that he's fighting, like, a bunch of, like, just people. I wanted him to be fucking up, like, you know, bad guys.
Bad guys,
But it felt good because they're, like, these...
Well, they kind of were henchmen in a way. They were turned into
derogative,
henchmen.
They're these derogative, like, fucking... You know,
churchgoers.
Yeah,
the people
like,
that he's abortion. He's fighting churchgoers,
and he just fucks them up. Like, it's so great.
Oh,
so
what a,
cool!
What a message.
Yeah,
fuck religion.
He doesn't. Matthew Vaughn doesn't fucking hold back. He has the final sequence where all the heads get fucking blown up.
That was cool.
He blows up Obama.
I know.
I was like, yes.
And it was done to like. This weird, like, celebration music. Like,
it was awesome.
What was it? What song was it?
It's well timed, too.
Yeah,
is it
was. Was it? I thought it was to, like, an actual, like, you know, celebrate good time. I don't think it was that song, but.
No, it was an orchestra piece.
It was weird. But that's another. I do want to talk about some of the use of the music in this film, because obviously love that they used Free Bird and fucking Bonkers. You know, who's the singer? Who's the rapper who does that?
I don't know, but he does.
Dizzy Rascal. And like really cool choices. But sometimes I felt that they weren't really sure what type of movie they wanted to make in terms of. Because sometimes they go all the way fun and awesome and kind of verging on parody. Definitely awesome in terms of like, because last podcast I was talking about, these are the kind of films that I want to make. I want to make cool fight scenes with fucking sweet rock music playing, you know, playing in the background. And it's just fun. It's not like, it's not depressing and sad when people do get killed, unless you actually care about like Colin Firth. But, like, it kind of went from playing Free Bird and being awesome to all of a sudden it's a really bad thing that's happened, and the whole like feeling of everything changed with the score. A lot of the time I felt it was really up and down in terms of that, and it didn't really bode as well with me as I kind of would have liked. Like, I really wanted, because I went into this movie wanting a badass fucking awesome kick-ass movie, you know, sort of thing, and it is to a certain extent, but I felt that just at times it would come in and out, and like especially with the heads blowing up at the end, like it starts out playing on that, like, because it's playing this celebration song which was funny, and then this weird score comes in and it's not so cool anymore.
I thought they were taking the piss the whole time. Like, I didn't. Kick-Ass does the same thing. Like,
See, Kick-Ass did it was done perfect the way that it was satire to a certain extent, but like was still not quite parody, but still took itself seriously.
There's a lot of scenes in Kick-Ass that do the same thing where it goes from like there's that whole sequence where Kick-Ass it's near the end and it's to like na 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 and it's Hit Girl running through just fucking everyone up, which I think is the and that scene with Colin Firth in the church. I instantly watched it and went, "This is the spiritual sequel to Hit Girl." Like this is what Matthew Vaughn fucking loves doing this. He clearly loves these fucking this crazy thought of like this character shouldn't be able to do this, but does it anyway. Yeah. But there's always like I kind of liked it. I kind of liked that it turned a little bit because it does. You're right. It does turn, you know, it's like really fun. And then suddenly it's like, bam, like you need to feel bad about this. But Kick-Ass does the same thing.
Kick-Ass does. And you're absolutely right. But I just think Kick-Ass did it better. I think because this one, when instead of going, Kick-Ass kind of was jumping between a Kick-Ass action comic book movie and not really a teenage drama, but like it would go into deeper things every now and then make a sadder sort of
the
thing.
The protagonist was more likable in Kick-Ass.
Yeah, and more it's more relatable because me or you could go and put on a Kick-Ass thing and go get our ass kicked by some gangsters in the thing.
Ass kick. I love that bit so much.
Ass kick. But in this one, because it's kind of playing on the whole spy
be
movie,
a gentleman,
the spy movie genre, which I kind of like. And they say it straight out in the film, like, spy movies are all too serious now. Yeah. So they go back to make a classic Bond film. Like
this ain't the stuff, kind of movie. Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff that was fun. It's got, like, colorful characters. It's got crazy bitches with sword legs, you know, like, breakdance fighting in the end, which was really cool. But I don't know. I think because the spy movie has been parodied so much, it wasn't as solid, and I kind of wanted it to be just more of just a badass movie rather than go back on be derivative of these older films.
I don't reckon it was a parody, though. I don't think, like, I wasn't watching it as if it was I don't think it lent more towards being a parody. I honestly thought it just lent more towards just being fucking cool. Like, I'm on the opposite side, I think, because I think it lent the other way. I think it has those moments where it's like, hey, look, you know, we know what we're doing. Like, we're aware of this film, of the film we're making. But it really does just kind of do its own thing a lot of the time, I think, like this.
See, the only times that I feel that it did its own thing was when it was doing the fight scenes. Like, the fight scenes Colin Firth and Matthew Vaughn making awesome Kick-Ass babies.
But
it came back to because you're right, it's not... And I'm not saying it's a parody, because it's not at all. It's more derivative of these older spy films, which is cool. But so were so many other films, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, it's been a while. Like, Austin Powers did it. That was more of a parody. But, like, Austin Powers did it. And, you know, there's other things like Spy Hard and stuff like that have all done these sort of films. But the thing that this one has is these awesome fight scenes, which I'm fucking all down for.
They are really fucking good.
But then comes my probably biggest issue with this film is that the some of the fight scenes are too few and far between. Maybe not few, but far between.
Well, it's a long movie. Yeah. Like, the problem is, I think there's a perfect amount in there, but it's just the length of the film that kind of drags it on a bit.
And it's funny, not until you actually mentioned it when we were doing the plot summary that training sequence is just too long.
It's long. It's way too long, man. Like, the coolest bits in the movie is when they're just fucking in the thick of it.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't need to show that much. And, like, you know, even, like, the whole... that kid that was close enough to being a Kingsman turns out to be a dickhead and is in the lair with the bad guy. Would have been cool if they had a bit of a showdown, you know, and they had a bit of a fight, because he was
a big part of it.
He was like, he played, like, this huge part where he was just this giant prick and
he was
kinda,
the rival.
Yeah.
He needed to be sorted.
And...
he got beaten, like, kind of.
It would have been cooler, I think, if we saw Eggsy's character take him on, and we see Colin Firth's character take on Blade Bitch,
yeah.
Because they seem to have more. They've had more of an interaction, and Eggsy's character has more of a problem with Horseface. So you know, like,
Horseface
looks like a fucking horse.
He does look.
So if we had that, I think it would have been a cool little parallel thing, and just because I think we're just saying this because we really like Colin Firth.
I know.
It just all comes back to he's the best fucking part of this movie. He's got the best character. Mm. He's got the best scenes, the best dialogue. Everything about him you just love. Like, you can't not like his character. He's just so fucking cool. He's just, he's the ultimate Obi-Wan. Like, he's just like there, and he's all about like, oh, fucking God, he's good.
Yeah, and then they kill him.
Manners maketh man. He locks the door. I love that scene too, where he...
I actually would have liked to have had more scenes with him and Eggsy bonding.
Together? Like, almost like a buddy.
Because at the end, when he dies, and, like, obviously he's the mentor for Eggsy, but it's... And he's got to come and, you know... avenge him, and he basically becomes him. He goes and dresses like him and everything. I think there needed to be, like, I felt it there, but I think a few more scenes of him and Colin just doing shit together, buddy-buddy stuff, rather than the training shit. I would have preferred more of that.
Because they have good chemistry on camera too. Like, they were... It was good. It was just good. Like,
fucking that scene where he's talking about, oh, have you seen all these other films? And he's like, no. And he's like, well, you're about to have
My Fair Lady.
He's like, well, aren't you full of surprises?
Yeah.
That's like, that's cool. I like that. They're from different sides of the tracks, and they're budding, but Colin Firth is so about, you know, redeeming himself to this guy's father, like, help, you know, he owes it to this kid. So I really liked that, and I would have liked more of that as well. So more of that, and more of the relationship with the bad dude.
But within this, I don't think any of what they actually presented in the film was bad. None of it, I think, was terrible.
Yeah,
the
training sequence
stuff was cool to watch. It was still fun to watch. It still had substance, and it had really cool style to
it. It's kind of that sort of thing that should have been like an extended version.
Yeah, just like, it's still cool to watch. It just could have been so much cooler, you know? Like, all of it just could have been so much better.
Yeah.
And
I think because, in what I was saying before, my issues with it were the fight scenes were so far between, and the pacing kind of slows down quite a bit because it goes from these fast-paced, awesome, fucking, boom, 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 awesome, 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 awesome. Okay, let's slow down for all. And you need your breaks, but there were two longer breaks. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I agree. Like, it's just, it's
hard. I was actually dreading reviewing this because I've got bad things to say about it. But it's not a bad movie. Like, I had a lot of fun with this movie. Like, we had a start.
The fight scenes are that fucking good. Like, this is what
it's all for for Colin Firth and the fight scenes.
The best, the good parts of this movie are fucking brilliant. Like, they just, it takes the cake. Like, it takes the whole cake.
Well, we had a staff screening of this film. You were away, so you couldn't come to it. And everybody jumped up out of their seats and were like, holy fuck, that movie was fucking amazing. And I didn't.
Yeah.
I got up and I felt really bad. Like, because I had an idea of what I expected this film to be, and it kind of didn't quite get to that, but that doesn't mean it wasn't good. And that's why I was really worried coming into this, because how positive everyone's about it. Like, you know, our friend Reese, who, you know, kind of guest spotted on last week's episode, he was like, you know, this is the movie of the year. Yeah. We're going to be talking about this all. And I was kind of like...
Then last night he was saying the same thing. He said, yeah.
And I was like, yep. But I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to go and just be like, but...
It was fucking shit.
Did you think about this and think about this? Because as soon as you put a negative to somebody who's so positive about it, they're like, what? You don't like it? I'm like, no, I do like it. But like, we're critics now. We have to fucking do this shit. Yeah. I can't just be like, yeah, I love it.
It's true. It's really true. And I was the same. Like, a lot of my friends from school, film school, are just raving about it. And I'm like, it's fun. It's a really fun movie. I had a great time watching it. But I'm not, like, this isn't, I totally disagree. Like, I don't think this is this spectacular best action comedy of the decade. Like, I've seen, you know, Kick-Ass is a perfect example.
Yeah.
That movie just sticks with me so much because I was a teenager when I watched it. He's a teenager in the film. It's about finding yourself and doing some great. It's just fucking awesome, you know? And I don't know what it is. I don't know what, like, I get the charm. I get the appeal, but I don't think it is as, I don't think it stands out to me like it does other people.
Yeah, see, Kick-Ass was... I don't know. Kick-Ass did it. It did it right. And like I've seen, like I agree with you. Kick-Ass is what I obviously compare this to, especially the same director and all that. But there's a lot of other like just like really cool action films. Like Shoot 'Em Up was a really good one.
I haven't seen it.
Clive Owen is fucking good, man. I mean, you should watch that. Yeah, but it's really just it's just about being awesome, and that's quite like just. Straight up, just awesome. It's not like a hard-hitting story. It's about cool fight scenes, cool one-liners, but not in a cheesy way. Like just and that was what this film was. But there was so much in between. And I think because I've seen so many spy movies of like this, I didn't fit as well with it. And I'm actually not the biggest fan of British stuff myself.
I am.
I know you are, but
I don't know what it is about British culture, like especially northern British culture, like chavs and stuff, but I fucking love seeing it on camera. Like
I do, but I don't know, it doesn't really resonate with me
as much.
It's just
cool.
I think
it's just like interesting.
I always find it, well, not those sort of films, but just in general from growing up with British films would always be on like the daytime TV, and it's all like the Queen
that.
And you know, Pride and Prejudice bullshit, which I just can't stand. It just bores the shit out of me. And unfortunately, most British films, even if they are awesome like this one or things like Attack the Block or even Ali G, like I go in already with these like, oh, it's fucking yuck. They're in these old
Imitation
buildings.
Game, though.
Oh, yeah, well, that was not like... Well, that's actually the perfect example because everything about that, the way it looked,
it's
was
English.
Fucking boring to me. But the film is so good that it beats it. And like this, I'm not ragging on British film because like I love Imitation Game, I love Attack of the Block, I love Ali G in the House. Like Ali G in the House is one of my favorite comedies of all time because its content beats out the boringness. And so does Kingsman. But I'd already come in and I don't like it as much. Yeah. Saying it all, I want to talk about fucking Sword Legs for a little bit.
Okay.
Because we haven't really...
We've just talked
about how awesome she is. But she's fucking terrifying, man. There's something about chicks with weird feet.
With legs for swords. That's really scary.
And the way she walked around, the sound design of those things, like you hear the shrink as she walks on like tiles and different. You just hear it. It's just like, that can cut you in half.
Nobody questions it either.
Literally cut you in half. Like in that first scene, that guy gets cut in half.
He was cool as. I thought he was going to be such a big part
so
of
did
it.
I
he
as
just
well.
Gets like
did, you,
I was like.
Did you pick fucking Mark Hamill at the start there?
That's fucking Mark Hamill, isn't
it's
it?
Mark Hamill.
It's fucking Mark
it
Hamill.
Is, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was looking at him and I'm like,
it looks kind of
like. It looks
Luke
like
Skywalker.
It looks. I was like, that looks exactly like Mark Hamill, but I don't want to lean over. Because with Mel, I was like, I don't want to lean over to Mel and be like, hey, it's Mark Hamill, because I want her to be like, no, it's fucking not, you idiot, and then have her like karate chop me in the throat or something.
That,
and
be you were fool. Right. It was 100% Mark Hamill.
Oh, good.
And you know, he looks weird these days, man. Like he is not doing well. I heard he had some like surgery or something.
Really?
I think he got fucked up or something. I don't know what happened, but
Jesus.
But I'd seen. The only reason I was sure of it was because I saw a film last year or the year before called Sushi Girl, and he was in it, and he looked fucking horrible in that. And I was like, "Is that Mark? Is that Luke? Like, fuck! And this cunt's gonna be in the new Star Wars. So how's he gonna look as Luke Skywalker?
We'll see.
That's
gonna
be interesting. I've got a vision of him and I don't want that broken.
I don't want to talk about this because I've thought about this every time I think about episode 7. I'm like, old Han Solo, that's fine.
That's fine because he still looks awesome.
And then I go, Chewbacca, he probably won't age very much. And then I go, Carrie Fisher and fucking Mark Hamill. Let's give this a geese. You know,
oh God.
Mark Hamill can play it off as like he's just in his robes and stuff.
Yeah.
But how the fuck is Carrie Fisher going to...
She was a sex symbol back
like,
in the day. She'd just dress up like a nun like she did in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. Anyway, so Mark Hamill was cool. I liked that he was in this film, and he was quite a good little... He's a good character role. He's like a good character actor. Like, plays like really
caricatures. Oh, he's a good actor.
So
he's
well.
He's
like,
good.
You know, obviously he was the voice of the Joker back in the day as well. Like, he just has this awesomeness about him. I really like it. And it was cool that he got that little bit. And that was a really cool scene as well, all with the, like, the scotch kept, like, changing hands and stuff like that. But fucking how badass is Sword Bitch? Like, she is just
Jackie legs.
So cool. And she's super sexy, too. Holy crap.
You reckon?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was just because she was so badass.
Nah, I've heard heard everyone's, like, super attracted to her.
Yeah. You're not feeling it?
Well, she's got fucking swords for legs. It's kind of a turn off. I'm like, ugh.
I think that's what it might be, though. It's that, you know, the danger of her.
I'm so afraid, yet so aroused.
But apparently she hasn't been in anything before. She looks familiar, but I haven't really seen her.
Well, she'll be in heaps now.
Yeah, I think she'll be a big deal. But fuck, she was scary. Like, there's something about, she looked like, you know, some weird, like, minotaur fucking monster thing. Like, I don't know, like, there's just something about the way, she's, and the, like, way that she walked about in it, like, she kind of, like, would have her butt real high, like, just, you could see that her legs are straining on these two fucking blade things, and I was like, and just the sound effects were so fucked. Like, swing! Like, you know, there's your guts gone.
It's something else, that chick. She was awesome as, like, a henchman. She, like, you're like, oh, she's going to be fucking scary when they fight her. And she was. She's equally as terrifying as, like, the way he gets her too is, like, exactly how I thought he would. Like, he uses his wit a little bit. Like, it's the only way you could beat her because she's so fucking good.
She's not going to lose. Yeah. And she's so fast. And breakdances.
I know, that was awesome. The breakdancing fight. That's when I went, wow, this fight scene is just as good as the others. Yeah. Like, that is the moment I was like, yep, this is perfect. And they do the karate kick in the air, and she's like, ha, and he, like, just moves midair. I love it. I thought it was great.
Really cool.
That was one of those moments I really, really quite enjoyed the film, was that last fight scene. She was a big part of it, I think. She was cool.
Yeah. Cool. Do you have anything else to say about this film?
I think we're kind of just, we're on the same page. Yeah. Every time this happens, we talk less because
where did we go with it?
There's no argument. But I think that's okay. I honestly, Kingsman, I had so much fun with it. I had so much fun watching this movie. I can, like you said, I can watch this film probably a bunch of times, just those bits, those really awesome bits. And I had a lot of, I think the fight sequences and everything, I was like, wow, this is amazing. These are the sort of things I love in a film. Like, he does his own style. This is his own way of doing things. And he fucking does it well. And it was great. Colin Firth was amazing. The main actor, who, I'm sorry, I can't find your name, my phone's flat, he was great too, and everyone in it was great. That last line where he's like, this ain't that kind of movie, bruv, when he says it back to Sam Jackson, but he's still got that real chavviness about it. I was like, fuck, that's cool. And yeah, I had a great time. I give it a 3.5. It's probably on the same for Imitation Game. Like, I had a great time watching it, but it just suffers from being way too long, and I think, and not given the audience what they wanted, you know, just not enough of what they wanted.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's becoming a problem, these long movies, especially for us, for the last, you know, few movies. It's been
quite lengthy.
Our big problem is the length. I've always had a big problem. Anything over 2 hours is too long for me. Like, there's certain films, like epics, that can, you know, you push it and it's kind of like, okay, I understand that. But for a film like this, like, hour 50... it's probably as long as you needed, maybe even 2 hours. Like, it's
2 hours. Like, if I saw this film at 2 hours, it would have been
fine.
I would have been like, "Fuck, that's no." I still would have gone like, "Wow, that's a long film."
Yeah,
it's 2.5 hours.
You
long.
Feel it. You do feel it.
Yeah,
and it's I'm happy that you felt it as well, because when I watched it, it was this staff screening after our cinema closes at 10 o'clock at night, and that's never a good thing for me to start watching a movie late, especially after I was working as well. I came straight from work and did it, and I was fucked. And you know. And I think if I'd watched this film in a different, like, at a different time, I probably would have liked it a little bit better. But that did hurt a lot with it being so long. It really hurt it for me. The fact that it mucks around with it's the classic first origin story movie as well. Like, it's, you know, Spider-Man did it, but like X-Men did it. It's all like, we got to get the origin, we got to get the training, we got to get them up to speed so then they can fight the villain.
Could have been two movies.
And we don't get, well, I didn't get that time with Samuel L. Jackson like I would have liked. I would have liked more between them, like bad versus, you know, good versus evil sort of thing there, rather than just seeing them go through an academy. Like, I didn't need to see that. Like, it was cool, but I didn't need it. And like I said, my biggest issue was that I just wanted fucking cool fight scenes the whole way. And, you know, like, you know, we've reviewed films that are much, you know, much stronger stories and really compelling characters and all that sort of stuff. And that's really important. And it doesn't have to be spectacle, spectacle, spectacle. But in this movie, I kind of wanted that. That's what I went in expecting. I wanted...
Because the acting and the story and the dialogue, it's already there. It's great writing. It's fun. It's funny. Like, they hit the nail on the head.
And the thing is, I already know this kind of story. I've seen this movie before. We all have. I've seen this spy movie. I don't need to be drip-fed it because I've seen it. I don't know if it's because this is for a new generation of, you know, kids coming up to watch spy movies again. Like, fucking... Whatever, I don't know. The fun spy movies, I should say, because they're still spy movies. There's fucking a lot of them still around. Yeah, that's probably my biggest beef with this film is its length and its in-between fight things. Because for such a stylized thing, it's not as stylized when we're just talking shit in a tailor shop. Like, there's some fun things there and some fun back and forth, especially between Eggsy and Colin Firth. I wanted more of that. I wanted more of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I said, I was dreading reviewing this because it's a hard review to do because, and we did this also with we spoke about this with Horrible Bosses too. Like, it's a good movie, but I can't tell you that it's a 4 or a 5 out of 5 by any means. Like, no way.
When shit is average for us, like, not just like par, but if we're struggling, I think when we're both on the same page and we're both like, I don't know if this is okay or great.
Yeah.
It becomes a real issue.
It is. Yeah. It really is because I really wanted to love this movie. Like, we were talking about it last week. I was so excited for it because, like I said, this is the type of film I want to make. And I really... really respect Matthew Vaughn for what he does, and I just don't think it was done as well as it could have been done in this film. So I'm kind of glad that you're on the same page because I was expecting you to come in like everyone else and be like, "Yay!" And I was like, "How am I going to be the bad guy in this one?"
I'm like, I'm such a prick all the time. It's hard for me to love something. I was expecting the opposite. I was actually expecting you to be like that.
To love it, yeah.
Whoa, hold up a fucking second.
Well, generally, I would this sort of film, especially. But listen, I'm on a 3. Like, 3. I give it. It's above average for sure. But it just gets brought down because I just wasn't in it as much as I wanted. You know, and even the best badass scene in the film, the church scene, was soiled for me. So it's like, you know, that was the best thing in that film. Yeah, and then they fucking kill Colin Firth. Yeah. Fuck that. This would have been that's a 0.5 taken off for killing Colin Firth.
By the way, spoilers. We didn't say that.
There it is.
Everyone fucking knows. Yeah. Like, if you're like, if you've decided that this is the first one you listen to and you, like, you listen to the plot summary and you're like, I can't believe they told me that. Well, shit happens.
That's when you should have turned off. Yeah. Yeah, so 3 point. You give a 3.5. I'm on a 3. Actually, I've been on a run of 3s at the moment, and it's because I gave the last two films 3s as well, and I try to stick away from the 3. I feel like a 3 is such a generic score. Yeah. Like, it's that right in the middle. It's like a 6 out of 10. A 3, you know, a 3 out of 5, and it means I'm kind of indifferent to it. Yeah. Like, I feel like, and
it's true,
and like, because usually it's at least a 3.5 or a 2.5, and then we start the spectrum from
what
there.
Do you remember that Fury?
I gave it a 3.5.
I think I gave it a 3.
Yeah.
I just like, I want to watch it again, and that sucks because I remember just bringing it down.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't a big fan the first time, but
yeah,
I feel like I'd enjoy it more.
Yeah, and you probably, you've got lower expectations going in
there.
That's
it, isn't it?
Yeah, because you were pretty keen for that one.
I was pretty damn keen. I love war, and I just was like, ugh, yuck.
Yeah.
Get this bad taste out of my mouth. Remember Equalizer?
Now, that's the ultimate 3. No, that was a 2.5, I think.
You gave it a 2. I was fucking mad. That movie.
Everyone loves that movie.
Why?
I don't get it. I really didn't.
It was piss weak.
I was so bored with it.
Yeah, no, back in the day, hey?
Yeah.
I'm just reflecting.
That was episode 3, I think. Yeah, we're at 22.
We are. I'm reflecting because of the recent news that you're fucking off. So I'm, I'm just like reminiscing, but I think we should do that next episode.
Talking about that, yeah, we're going to try and sneak in one more episode before I fuck off.
Keyword try.
yeah, we're pretty stickler for time, but I think we should be able to get it done. Because we're not really, I'm not really sure where we're going to go from there. We're definitely going to be continuing the podcast, but it's all a matter of, I need to get set up down there and get an internet connection, basically, yeah, so we can you know, get your voice through a computer onto
a microphone. Yeah, so I'm going to be through a fucking computer like a robot.
Yeah, so he's going to sound like, domo arigato,
Mr. Roboto. We've been singing that all evening. Like, as soon as I got here, we've just been doing it. Not the song, not each other.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, next week, one I'm sure we're both really looking forward to.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, my God.
One of the biggest releases of the year.
Why do we have to do this for our last one?
It's going
to
be a big Valentine's Day release. Every woman in the world knows this fucking book. They've probably either read it or have spoken about it at some point. 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm really not looking forward to it.
I don't want to fucking watch it.
It looks horrible.
It's going to give... This film is going to just ruin my life. My love life. They're going to be like, why don't you dominate me? Why? Whip me with chains. Tie me up. And I'll be like, shut the fuck up.
You know, no, I heard...
actually says this to me, by the way.
they'll start saying that. Yeah. You know, I heard that when the book became a big hit that, you know, the emergency ward got more sexual... Like, something like 100% more sexual injuries after Jesus. This fucking movie. So, it's probably going to be pretty hot and heavy.
Have you tried erotic asphyxiation? They did it in 50 Shades. Fuck me!
Oh, I'm not excited for that. There's, like, I don't really... Didn't have much expectations for this film coming up at all, really. But I kind of had this vision of the Mr. Grey in my head, and this guy does not look... anything like this, but
I had no vision. I had no thought of this. I remember hearing it's going to come out. I'm like, there'll be something else Fish and I will review, because we're not going to review 50 Shades of Grey, it's a bit silly, and I'm nope, here we fucking go. Best of Me Part 2. The only difference is fucking more sex. More sex.
Hopefully we only see some
and
titties.
What they've done is they've gone, Mr. Grey's a 10, a perfect 10, and then the female is average looking.
Plain Jane.
She's plain because they want the audience to relate to Plain Jane.
Yeah.
So they want you to feel as if you are being dominated by Mr. Grey. You know what I don't want to feel like? I'm being dominated by Mr. Grey. I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to fucking watch this. The amount of resent that I have right now for this film.
It's going to be fucking Twilight all over. You know when everybody expected... We had to be fucking vampires all of a sudden, or a fucking werewolf to be attractive to the opposite sex. Now we've got to be dominatrix fucking businessmen.
Well, it wasn't you had to be a vampire. It's like you had to be fucking mysterious. And yeah, you had to act a certain way. And
pale.
Oh, I hate it. I know what this film is going to do to me. It's just going to be like Best of Me. Like, I wasn't resenting Best of Me, though, when I went to see it. But after Best of Me, I was like, what has happened to me? I'm a changed man. I now resent films. And now I have to go fucking see this.
God, I hope. I feel this will be better than Best of Me. I really hope it is.
Apparently it's 20 minutes of sex scenes.
Well, there's that.
There's a plus.
Okay, yes. Well, let's wrap this shit up. We're going to be talking about that next week, hopefully. So tune in then, and we'll talk some sex.
Yeah. Oh God. 50 Shades of Gay. It's okay if you are, but I'm just saying. It's a funny play on words. Play music! Get me out of this awkward situation. Go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. Fish and Connoisseur a Movie does not own any rights to the film Kingsman: The Secret Service, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Bonkers is performed by Dizzy Rascal, and the track Freebird is performed by Lynyrd Skynyrd.